I'm so glad you're here.
My name is Kathy Brophy. This is Little Victories Podcast. A quote I have on my classroom board: the strongest people are those who win battles we know nothing about. This podcast is inspired actually by my father, Tom Brophy Jr., who was an author and wrote a book called Little Victories. And his philosophy was, by helping people create small victories every day in their lives, we can hopefully turn them into bigger victories. My dad specifically worked with people that were unemployed. And my thought is, what a great philosophy this is to live. So my hope is to bring on regular, ordinary people as my guests who have stories that people can relate to. And I hope you enjoy. Thank you. Hello, and welcome to Little Victories Podcast. This is Kathy Brophy, and I have here with me my beautiful, fun sister, Kelly. Hey, Kel.
Hi there.
So here we are talking virtually. I'm in Massachusetts, Kelly's in New Jersey, and I'm going to give you a quick little backstory of how we got the name Little Victories. So our dad, Tom, who passed away in 2020, was an author. And one of his books that he authored was called Little Victories. And he spent a good part of his life working for Department of Unemployment in New Jersey. And this book, Little Victories, was really written for people that had lost their jobs and really all the emotions and stuff that go with losing your job. And his premise was to give people tools and strategies to get back on the horse, so to speak, and find a job. And so it was about creating little victories every day in your life, and then in the hopes that those little victories each day turn into bigger victories. And so thus the name of this podcast, that just bringing regular, ordinary people, champions like my sister. And the quote that really reminded me and got me going for this season three: the strongest people are those who win battles we know nothing about. So my hope is to just bring regular people here for listeners to hear their stories, and then in the hopes that they can turn little victories into their own lives. So before we start, Kel, I thought we'd find out a little bit about you before we dig into this stuff that's going to be heavy. But what isn't heavy, right, in our family? So just going to ask you some questions here, and just so they can get to know you. So, Kel, what's your favorite dessert?
Oh, my favorite dessert would be a hot fudge sundae with extra nuts.
Walnuts, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
All right, Kel, what makes you laugh?
Oh, what makes me laugh? Unexpected humor, family, jokes. When I'm feeling joy, that makes me laugh.
Yeah, laughter is fun. We learned a lot. Humor was key in our family, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Okay, now here's one. If you could pick two words that you would want your kids to use to describe you, what would those words be?
I would have to say strong and resilient.
And I think they would say that. Kristen and Heidi. Hi, Heidi. Hi, Kristen. And all right, here's a fun one. If you had a song that played every time you entered a room, what would that song be?
The song would be "I Will Survive" by Gloria Gaynor. Ooh, for sure.
That's a nice song. That's a nice song. So, Kel, you're the middle child, as we said, of five. And the five of us, we all have the same mom, but we have two different dads. And I'm going to ask you to speak about something you shared earlier, and that was that you learned about not talking about your feelings. And I want to ask you what that was like. What did you mean by that, about learning to not talk about your feelings in our house?
Well, growing up in our home, our mother was had mental health issues as well as addiction. And so it was really hard growing up to not share what the horrors were every day, having to gauge and watch our mom drunk. And there were times that there was even abuse, mental and physical abuse. And when I did try an attempt at one time to share what happened, things got even worse at home. So stuffed things in was what I learned. We woke up the next day and we were like, okay, here we go, another day. And it was just like horrific. I didn't learn until my adult life how to be able to express myself and express my feelings.
Okay. Yes. Remembering, remembering all that as you're talking about it. And I think we've talked about before how it's amazing how five of us can grow up in the same home and have very different experiences. Yet what you're describing, I can certainly relate to. So we're gonna move forward here as we want to tell your story. So you talked about 2017, life becoming really hard for you. Can you talk about what was going on there?
Yeah, in 2017, the year prior, our father was diagnosed with Lewy body dementia. And so we got a call that night. He was told that he should not be left alone. And we got a call that night. He was left alone and he fell down a series of concrete steps and was transported to a trauma hospital down in Atlantic City. And you and I, both rushed there and we saw our father in a way that we had never seen him before. We had seen him sundowning. We had seen the grief of the pain that he was in. And that really created for me a feeling of lack of control. From that hospital, he was then transported to a lockdown facility, memory care unit, and we had no control over that. But he would never go home again. And as we knew him, his life would forever change.
And then we move forward to May 2020, and you share that you are barely holding on. What's going on here?
So, with any Lewy body dementia patient, there's grieving that goes on with the family, as many families have experienced. And by May of 2020, we get a call that our dad is not doing well, and the pandemic had just started with COVID. And they said we need to have one family member represent and come and say your goodbyes. And so my oldest daughter, Heidi, who was a nurse's aide, goes to the nursing home, and we are able to say our tribute to him and our goodbyes to him on Google Duo. And the pain of losing him was so intense, and knowing that we had to let him go, it was a beautiful moment. It was a beautiful, beautiful time. But at the same time, he was such a light in our life, and it was just really, really hard to lose him, and it was difficult.
Yes, I still have the picture on my phone of that day and the image of Heidi holding his hand, which really is a beautiful image. And that was a really hard day. So we're gonna continue to move forward a little bit. So June of 2021, you said, And I'm going to quote, you said you hated yourself. And I was medicating and drinking to get through the day. Can you talk about what was going on there?
Yeah, sure. I was battling depression and anxiety and was appearing good on the outside. But in June of 2021, I was dying and felt like I was alone. And at that point, you and my daughters called emergency care, called crisis on me. And I say on me, but it was a gift. But I was so angry and full of so much resentment at the time. And I was sent to a mental health facility where I spent a week. And that week was like a vacation. I felt like I had three meals a day. And for the first time, they were asking me to express my feelings and how I was feeling. And I didn't want any visitors to come in and visit me. The kids tried to visit, family would call, and I was full of so much resentment. I was then called, I came out of the facility, and shortly thereafter, there was my father's funeral, which was about a year later because of COVID. And I couldn't show up. And that was probably one of the hardest things. I couldn't show up because I was so fragile and still so full of resentment. But the family came in and we were all meeting in Princeton. And I remember putting on this facade like I was okay. And it was probably one of the biggest regrets in my life is not showing up for my father's funeral. But I was sick. I was medicating. I was drinking and isolating.
Okay, so yeah, so to be specific, it was June 29th, 2021, you decided to run away. And so you're speaking about that day when we were all together. Do you want to say just what that was like? What was going on in your head that said, I need to get out of here and I need to run?
So I was really in a bad state at that point. I got what they call in AA, the fuckets, and I had had enough. I just couldn't deal with life. I was in so much physical pain that I knew I needed to get away from everyone and get away from life. And I took off and I went to New York. I was at a girlfriend's house that day and I went to New York. She didn't even know I left in the middle of the night. And I went to Coney Island Beach and called my one girlfriend to check in. After that, I don't remember much. I just remember I had a bender and I spent several days in New York, in Times Square, in Manhattan. And during that time, my family is trying to find me. I didn't know that. I was, my phone wasn't working. Nobody could reach me. And I was leaving the Hyatt Regency in Times Square, walking down the street, and I ran into two police officers. And they looked at me and they said, "We recognize you. You are missing." And I'm like, "I'm not missing. I'm on vacation." And they were like, "No, you're missing. Your family is trying to find you." And they bring me down to the 66th precinct, where I'm then transported back to Lawrenceville, New Jersey. And my brother, being a police officer, I'm sitting in front of him and he's like, "What the hell are you doing, Kelly? You know, you've been missing and we've been trying to find you." And I had this fortress up of walls that continued to say, "I'm okay, I'm fine." But on the inside, I knew I wasn't. And crisis was called and I was then sent to a third facility. This time, this third facility that I went to for a week, they detoxed me off of opiates, off of alcohol, and off of Adderall, which the medications were all prescribed by doctors, but no one had ever detoxed me before. And it changed my life. But at the same time, I was full of so much pain because I had not had any coping mechanisms in order to learn how to live. I remember coming out of that facility, and a week later, I said, "What am I going to do with my life? I can't cope. I feel too many feelings." And I had masked the feelings with alcohol and with other opiates. And so I walked into the rooms of AA for the first time, crying and completely ready to surrender.
So yeah, so my recollections, so Kate and I, our other sister, we were also talking a lot on the phone, and then with Heidi and Kristen. But when you disappeared and when we filed the missing person report, just my perspective real quick, and it was interesting how we talked about this afterwards, and again, different perspectives, but I did not have a Facebook or anything like that. And I was like, what do I do? And I remember I made a message, and I basically pleaded, and I said, Kelly, we're looking for you. Tom, Phil, Kate, and I love you very much. Please call us and tell, and Heidi and Kristen, please call us and tell us you're okay. And I sent that out, and oh my gosh, it practically went viral. And I remember one of the beautiful things I remember of that was getting messages from strangers. And I'm going to say one, and I've never met this person in my life. This person was on Twitter. Handle is Queen of the Click. And she said, "I have a picture of your sister. I live in this area in Brooklyn. I'm going to start searching for her." And people were like looking, and it was just unbelievable how people came together. So I just want to share. And it was amazing too that the
Wow.
police like had your picture and were like, "Yeah, we've been looking for you."
That was beautiful. That was
So we're gonna you talked about, walking into AA, and I think you alluded to this, but I want to give you an opportunity if you didn't say anything. What did it feel like to surrender? You used that phrase with me before.
surrendering was letting go. I felt like I had to control everything around me because I learned as a kid to control my surroundings and to learn to keep it all together. And I had to learn to let go. And I had a willingness, a deep willingness, in order to do that for the first time. I had at that point been dealing with the grief of losing dad for the first time because I had been detoxed off of everything. I lost my home after living in it for 5 years. And the third was my two daughters were now, the empty nest syndrome. So those were gifts of desperation for me. And those gifts of desperation really, really helped me to release and surrender and say, "Okay, God, whatever is supposed to happen now, I have to just let it happen." And AA
So,
did that for me.
and then, so thinking in line of the name of this, Little Victories, you were creating little victories each day in your life by surrendering and being a part of AA. And we're gonna talk about, I'm gonna give you a chance before we finish to talk about what some of the things were that you got from AA. So deep breath. And your battle's not over because something happened in March of 2022 after you had surrendered and after you had received the gifts from AA. What happened in March 2022?
So my typical old behaviors were to run, and I had learned in AA not to run and to do the next right thing. And so by March of 2022, I get a diagnosis by first feeling the a malignant breast tumor on my right breast. And at that point, I do the next right thing. I go to my doctor, I call my sponsor. I and have connected with the network, and I am at this point scared to death of what is in front of me. I have an ultrasound mammogram, which then shows that I have a malignant tumor, and I'm scared because the grief of losing myself after surviving grief, and it's a constant survival. But I now am going in front of doctors, and the doctors are telling me that you need to go through 16 weeks of chemo, which I do, thankfully. And I do it with the help of my daughters and my family and my support system and my network. I was scared to death, but I had 7 hours of chemo at a time where my daughters are with me. I learn at this point that I have the BRCA2 gene. I sign up for this genealogy, which our father had done many years prior and set that all up for us. And I reported to them, I need to be tested. I get tested for the BRCA2, and it shows that I have a 50% chance that my children will also have it. And so from there, I undergo several surgeries after chemo. I have a port implant put in, lymph nodes removed. I have a double mastectomy, and then I have breast reconstruction, and all of which was done one day at a time. It was one of the hardest times this year, this past year, but I did it by showing up every day and just doing the next right thing.
So our Aunt Barb, whose dad's sister had, and I'm going to remember, back at this time too, had done a lot of work. She did a lot of work on our family ancestry. And then also was receiving many calls from family members around people receiving breast cancer diagnosis. So I remember her sending it to all of us and saying, you all need to get tested, because she had done the work and found that dad was a carrier of this gene. And thankfully, I also did get tested, and I did not get the gene. And knowing that you did get it, and that you do have a positive breast cancer diagnosis, and it was hard. It was hard to hear all that, to be the one that's okay. But very, very thankful that you were now in a place, as I talk to people, is that you had kind of waged your first war around your mental health struggles and got that together, and then thinking, and we talk about, things happen for a reason. You are able now to take on this second battle, which you are doing very courageously. And
Thank you.
And a great model for your kids and for all of us to see how you are living. You are living. And again, and thinking, my the quote, the strongest people are those who win battles we know nothing about. And you continue to do that every day, Kel.
Thank
So
you.
I'll let w before we're going to kind of move in, I'm going to let our listeners know a little bit more about you, but I'm going to give you an opportunity. So today's Monday. This podcast is going to be released. This is Monday the 20th. What's happening on Wednesday the 22nd?
Wednesday the 22nd is the last day of my battle with all these surgeries. I have a hysterectomy scheduled, and I'm ready for
Yeah. And I'm ready for it too,
it.
to have you call and say, hey, I'm doing good. And I know the kids will be there, and then we get on to living, right? We get on to living. All right, Kel. So I got some questions for you here. Who is Kelly Brophy today?
Ooh, Kelly Brophy today is a resilient mom of two beautiful daughters who is not afraid to show up every day and do the next right thing. and is trying to put her best foot forward each and every day.
I'm going to see if you can narrow it down, and it might be hard. What has being in the program taught you?
I would say receiving compassion and love. It's very hard to receive love when you didn't feel it as a child. And now receiving love and compassion, and finally getting my life back and learning to love myself again.
I'm going to ask you to complete these statements. I wonder.
I wonder how much growth I will have in the near future.
I notice.
I notice what people say and feel now.
I feel.
I feel anxious at times still, but that's okay. You just got to keep moving forward.
I believe.
I believe in myself.
What I know to be true is.
That I will continue to put one foot in front of the other and move forward.
So, Kel, I'm going to give you a moment to maybe, for anybody that's listening that is struggling, and we all have struggles. We all have struggles to share maybe some resources. Arguably, I have shared before that asking for help is one of the hardest things to do.
Yes.
And how, I just think it's one of the hardest things to do. So, what resources would you recommend for anybody that might be kind of at their end right now and needing, like, you know what? I need some help.
Some of the resources I would probably first think of is staying connected and trying to reach out to somebody. It's really hard because you want to isolate and keep this way of living to continue. But when you've had enough, it's telling on yourself, letting them know what's really going on. Another resource would be AA. AA is for many different types of addictions and other multitude of things, and not being afraid to go to a therapist or going for outside help.
Yeah, therapy. I tell people, hey, I couldn't get that word out. It's a TH word, therapy. Oh yeah, I started a couple of years ago, and oh my gosh, people are like, what did you wait so long for? So that's great. Yes, to destigmatize asking for help and getting therapy. I am going to be putting resources on this podcast as well. Minding Your Mind, Mental Health Collaborative, Reach Beyond Domestic Violence, Good Samaritans, Family Constellations, and AA. So I'm going to have those on here. Kel, maybe we can finish this statement together that was the quote from our dad. And maybe I'll start it and then you finish it. And one of Dad's favorite lines was that when you love someone,
You pay attention.
yes. So to all of our
Beautiful.
listeners, pay attention. When you love someone, pay attention. Thank you for listening. Kel, I love you. Thank you for being on this podcast.
Love you too, Kathy.